It was early in the morning, and a stillness filled the garden where he lay. Then the ground shook with power as the angel came and rolled the stone away. All the glory of the living God broke through to the darkness of the tomb. And the love of the Father came and filled every corner of the room. Love was in the room when new life was born where only death had been. Love was in the room and death and hell would never reign again. When the glory of the living God broke through to the darkness of the tomb. The earth was filled with his beauty, and love was in the room.
I was trapped in sin and weakness. I was sinking ever deeper day by day. Then the blessed Holy Spirit came to touch my heart and roll the stone away. All the glory of the living God broke through to the darkness of my tomb. And the love of the Father came and filled every corner of my room.
Love was in the room when new life was born, where only death had been. Love was in the room, and death and hell would never reign again. When the glory of the living God broke through to the darkness of the tomb, the earth was filled with his beauty, and love was in the room. Was filled with his beauty, and love was in the room.
Let's say hello to everyone. It's been a blessing being here. I was blessed with Brother Nate's heart there and those desires of humility and those desires of walking with the Lord and drawing nigh to him in that way. That that song that was just played, that's my testimony. There was a time there was a time of death in my heart. The Bible says, in Ephesians, it says that, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And that was my life. But my commitment to the Lord is he'll be my life. I've given my life. He's given his life for me, that I may live for him. And that is my desire. I stand before you trembling. To share the word of God. In the flesh, I cannot do it. But I believe that we have the power to preach the word with boldness. Because it's not my word, it's not your word, it's the word of God. And we can believe it, we can preach it, we can live by it, because it'll never pass away. My heart has been rejoicing in the Lord. the past week, too, I desire more. I know that I allow some things in my life that seem to take me down. It causes down times in our life, in my family's life. I know that we have experienced something, and I know all of you have felt it. With the young lady that has left her parents, I don't know. My heart is touched and hurting. Her mother talked to me the other night, and she wondered if it was possible to die of a broken heart. And I don't know. I believe that we've all been hurt by that, but we do have choices in this life, and a choice of one that takes that route does not bring the Word of God down to where it don't work, because the word works. In Romans, it talks about God who spared not His own Son, but gave Him for us all. Shall He not with Him give us freely all things? And I believe that that is the God that we serve, who gives us choices. He gives us a choice to choose our own way. But there was something I wanted to write up here, a quote that I was blessed with. Excuse my handwriting, I'm not a great writer. I found a quote. It says to be, I don't know if you can read it from there or not, it says to be in subjection to the desires of the flesh and to yield to them is the most extreme form of slavery. To keep those desires in subjection is the only true liberty. I believe that's what the gospel does in our life. I know that there's times that we give in to the desires of the flesh. What I wanted to speak of today is I want to start in John 6, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. I'm going to start reading on verse 22. I believe this is when Jesus had come. He'd walked on the water and he'd fed the multitude with the two loaves, the five loaves and the two fishes. And it says in 22, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save the one wherein two his disciples were entered, that Jesus went out with his disciples into the boat, that his disciples were going away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread. After that, the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracle, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat that which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. I believe as they seen the miracles that Jesus had done, as they had eaten of the loaves, I believe their focus was on an earthly kingdom. Their focus was on a king that was going to give them all the things they needed in this life. But I believe they had the wrong focus. I believe they yet had unbelief in their heart. They said that Jesus said, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but you did eat of the loaves and were filled. And going to verse 29, Jesus told them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him. And you know, I believe as we go through this life, that work, the work of God, is believing in his Son, Jesus Christ, because I believe it's such a big thing that the work of God is to believe. I believe it's believing is such a big word. It has become such a big thing, big word in my life. You know, our whole life revolves around believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and having faith in him. He is our life. He's our salvation. He is the one that we believe in. He's the one who we trust in. He's the one who so freely gives us everything that we have. He's the one who gives us grace when we fall. He's the one who gives us direction as we seek him. We can do nothing without him, this word says. And I believe this is all through believing. We can do nothing good. He's the one who shows us where we can do good. He says that ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. You are in the midst of a dark and perverse nation whom we are called to shine as lights. We are a peculiar people, but it's only because of believing in Jesus Christ and in what he has done. That's a work of God, to believe that he has saved me and he wants to use me. And anything good that comes out of my life is because of him. And it's through believing on him. And I was thinking of the Word of God and the direction we have through the Word of God, and believing in direction for our family, for our life. That I was thinking about, we deal a lot with building new homes. We deal a lot with prints, reading prints. And I know it's a carnal illustration, but we have details in our prints. We have direction on our prints, that if we don't follow the print, the house ain't gonna turn out right. It's not gonna be right. I mean, we can make things work, but if you want the home to turn out according to the print, according to the plan, we're gonna have to follow the plan. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. I believe that through believing in Jesus Christ and following his word, it's the only way. It's the only thing that God has given us, and it's all we need to build our lives on and to meditate on. And in Psalms 119, I think it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." It's the only deliverance from sin, is the word of God and believing in the word of God and the power of the word of God. There was several things that I wanted to talk about. There was, I'll write them up here. I believe we each of us, that we will find ourselves that we have not attained. There's a continuing. I know repentance is the first work in a believer's heart as we come to the Lord, and it's reconciliation. But I believe that as we go through this life, we need to remember repentance. Jesus spoke to the churches in Revelations, and he told them, each one of the churches, I think he told every church to repent. And I believe that it is something in our life that as we continue to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and to see his glory, to see his will for our lives, to see his goodness towards us and what he does for us, I believe it continues to bring man closer to God and continues to show man his need and to turn from the way that we go, because we just naturally go the wrong way. And I want to talk a little bit about repentance. I believe we've all read the story, but I think we need to continue to go through the Word of God. And I was going to go to Acts 9, I think it is. And we know the story well. Of Saul when he was on the Damascus Road. But just to pull a few points out of there of what his life consisted of, and but a few verses in the Bible here, how his life changed, and just to define what repentance is. They were, I'm going to start reading in chapter 9, verse 3. As Paul and them were journeying, he says, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I was thinking about that as a sow was laying there, probably on his face on the road, and he asked the Lord what he should do, and the Lord said, arise. You know, as we come to the Lord, we read many instances in the Bible. It's in humility. You know, the woman that came for healing, I don't know which, there's many accounts, but they were on their face before Jesus, and he told them, arise. And that's what he wants us to do. He don't want to stay in that condition. He wants us to rise and walk with him. He said, arise and go into the city, and it should be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. As we look at that verse, you know, Saul, he heard from the Lord. The first thing he did, he didn't eat for 3 days. He didn't eat or drink for 3 days. You know, how, that challenges my heart. You know, sometimes I think, well, I work every day. I mean, fasting is something that I can't, you know, it's kind of hard for me. But it's a repentance. It's a turning from your old ways. And it challenges my heart. It says, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision. Ananias, he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias as coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias, as he went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound into the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this was the very Christ. I think of repentance of a man that was going totally the wrong way. He was going against the God of heaven. And God revealed himself to his heart. And he made a complete turn. I believe it's an example of repentance that we could all examine our lives. I know that there's times in my life where I believe that we're intimidated by people. We are ashamed somewhat of the gospel and what it has done in our lives. We maybe think we have a bit of a reputation, and it's not the true walk that Jesus would desire. He desires us, as you read the down through here about Saul, can we imagine he was persecuting the church, and he goes back to his people and preaches what he was going against. It's an example of true repentance. And It's just an encouragement to my heart that we have the Word of God. We have Jesus Christ. And it is a walk of humility. It's coming to the Lord in humility. And it's a continued humility and repentance in our life of walking the opposite direction that we have been walking. I know there's many things that we could speak of on repentance, but I believe that is a perfect example. And I wanted to go on to reconciliation. I had read some of a tract on being reconciled to God. I got it here in a church a while back, I think. But I'm going to read out of 2 Corinthians 5. The tract was written, it uses a lot of that scripture. I'm just going to read some of the tract here. It uses 2 Corinthians 5 and some of 5 and some of 6. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto him which died themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That is the plan of God for you who have gone down into those baptismal waters and profess that you are dying, that you are recognizing your death in your association with Christ in his death, being raised to walk in the newness of life, that you may henceforth not live unto yourselves, but unto him that died for you and rose again. Wherefore, because of this, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Christ walked on the earth in the flesh. He also was killed. He died. He rose again. And now he is ascended up into heaven. He also should have died with Christ. And you have been risen to walk in the newness of life. And therefore, we don't know that old man. You are a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Has that happened to you in your life? You've become a new creature in Christ, Jesus. Anyone who comes to the cross, anyone who bows their heart, anyone who repents truly from their heart and is filled with the Holy Spirit, they will be a new creature in Christ, Jesus. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And thinking about reconciliation, how God has reconciled us to himself through the death of Jesus Christ, he hath reconciled us. He has reconciled the world. We have been at enmity with God. We have been separated from God. But he has reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ. But the word says, "Be ye reconciled to God." So we are a people who need to be reconciled to God. We need to lay down our own agendas. We need to lay down that enmity that was in between us, that thing that looms so big in our life, that thing that we served, it was an idol in our life. We need to lay it down, because those things that rise up in our life that we hold dearly, we need to cast them down. We need to come to God and believe what he has done for us through Jesus Christ. We need to leave our old life. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new in the Christian's life. And I believe they're continuing to become new in my life. I know that he has done that work and he's continuing to do that work. And he hath quickened. And you who are dead in sin, hath he quickened. And trespasses and sin hath he quickened. By grace are you saved. We are a people I believe I forget the condition of my soul. It was dead in sins and trespasses. When something's dead, there's no life. And Christ came and gave me life. He opened up that tomb. He was the first risen among many, brethren, the Bible says. But God has reconciled us to himself through Christ. But we need to be reconciled to God by faith in Christ Jesus through his grace. In Luke 19, I'm going to read a little bit here. I think it kind of gives us an illustration of how our response was to God before we surrendered to him. As we starting in verse 12, he said, therefore, it's a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. You know what I believe? That we as a people that without Christ, before we come to the Lord, that was our heart. We were so filled with rebellion. We were so filled with our own self, our own life, that we responded in the same way. We were no different. But the citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. But today, in Christ Jesus, it's totally different. We yet fall short of the glory of God, but my utmost desire for me and my family, for my brothers and sisters, is to, and I believe as each of your desires, is to walk with a heart surrendered to the Lord above all things. And yet, as we walk by faith, we don't always make the right decisions, but God honors faith. And that's, I don't believe we can justify an act of disobedience, but I believe as we walk by faith, we will yet fall short of the glory of God. But God has been faithful to us in that way. I know that you know these are all things that are not new to you. I'm going to move to 2 Peter chapter 1 and read some of that. I believe it's because as Paul was writing to the Corinthians, you know, they were all believers. They were people that knew Christ and they believed in Christ, but yet he continued to stir their lives up with the gospel of what God has done, what Jesus has done for them. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read some of that. I'm going to start in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. There's a list of things here that he tells us to add to our faith, and he says to do it with diligence. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge. Virtue, I believe, is it says one definition is moral excellence, that we have a heart and a mind that has been sanctified, and that David's cry of his heart was, he said that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. And I believe that's a Christian's heart yet, to have a heart of virtue and knowledge. It's growth in our Christian life. Add to knowledge temperance. Temperance is self-restraint of the fleshly appetites, I think. It would be what I wrote here, to keep those desires in subjection, I believe is what that is speaking of. That's temperance. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall not neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to abound, if we want to grow, if we want to our life to mature into a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, that there is a direction here for us, and it is adding to our faith. Faith and believing is the first thing. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And I believe remembering what God has done for us, I believe if remembering of that pit of despair, that pit of loneliness, that pit of not knowing where to turn or where to go or what to do, I believe I forget. But God's word says, when we forget, what happens? But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. But he says, I will be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in them. Remember. Remember what we've been delivered from. Remember those times of wanting a fellowship with a brother, or the things that we were involved with. And instead of remembering some things that maybe look good in our past life, you know, I was thinking a lot of, or quite a bit of Moses and the Israelites as they were coming out of Egypt there, you know, I believe the first fall of those people was when they started looking back. I believe they looked back and started remembering things that the flesh, that was desirable to the flesh, where they came from. I believe that's when God became very angered at them, and he wanted to destroy them. I believe it was hard for him to believe that his people, which he had delivered, would actually turn their hearts, but he knew their hearts all along. But I was also thinking of a verse in Hebrews 2. It says, how shall we escape? How shall the Christian escape? Yeah, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape if we view it as a casual thing, as a thing it's not becoming more to us, it's becoming less, I believe, is how we could use that how shall we escape if we don't continue to uphold our salvation and to view it as a holy thing that God has done for us and increase in thanksgiving and love for the grace that he has given us through Christ Jesus. I was going to read in Exodus 12, some on that account as they came out of the wilderness, or as they was coming through the wilderness. Starting on the last two verses in Exodus 12. I was thinking of the children of Israel, how they must have, as they were coming out of Egypt, you know, how their hearts must have beat after the Lord for being mindful of their estate, of their condition there in Egypt, and as they God delivered them. He brought them out. He took them through the Red Sea there, and he delivered them. In verse 50 of chapter 12, it said, thus did the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. I'm going to continue reading there in chapter 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out of the month, came ye out in the month of Abib, and it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he sware unto my fathers to give thee a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep the service in thy month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no flesh, no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt shew thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth, for with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. And I was thinking of that, you know, that we can speak to our sons in like manner, you know, that, and thou shalt show thy son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. We could also respond to our children that this is why we do what we do. This is why we take communion. This is why we dress the way that we do. This is why we do this or whatever it may be we do for the Lord. It's because of a great love for him who delivered us. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it to thee, Thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast, the males, shall be the Lord's. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among the children shalt thou redeem, and it shall be when thy son asketh thee in the time to come, saying, what is this? Thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage. I was encouraged with those thoughts that God wants us to be mindful. God wants us to be diligent. God wants us to walk circumspectly. He wants us to walk with a reconciled heart towards him. And he wants us to remember what he has done for us through Jesus Christ. And I believe that is all I have here. And I ask, may the Lord bless each of us. I was blessed being here this morning. And I just pray that you are blessed by the word of God. God bless you.